here we go. Everybody, you're right. You're happy. See, we're not gonna change the station. We're not gonna. All right, so just
Mom, change the station.
No. Sorry, Sherry. Thought I had it all worked out with her.
You know, she's opinionated. I like that.
She, yeah. Hey, speaking of opinionated, let's get Hannah. Hannah, a little dust up with Hannah yesterday. Let's see if she's in
Uh-oh.
Better mood. Yeah. Well, not yesterday. It was the other day. Hannah and I. She's pushing back on the host. It's called.
Oh.
Yeah. She was pushing back on some stuff on me. Hey, Anna Scott, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good.
Whatever.
Sounds like the energy's a little off.
No. Huge fan. Hannah Scott knows that. Big fan. And by the way, we were going to have you on at 3, but we cut into your napping schedule. Is that what happened there?
I have things I have to do away from the microphone.
Yeah, like...
And like during normal business
like
hours.
Like rapid eye movement.
I sat down at 4 a.m. and I didn't move until 3.
Okay. Well, let's get to the fact that did you get a chance to watch the
I did.
Yeah, speaking about going round and round, a little bit of a dust up. Our mayoral candidates, huh? They're laying it out last night.
They were laying it out. Kind of trying to make it was the first televised debate. So Lorena Gonzalez, Bruce Harrell, a current city council president against former city council president. And they're not completely different on everything. But so they were trying to, I think, highlight a lot of the differences between them. Right out of the gate, of course, no brainer, homelessness, the top priority. So here is what we heard from Lorena Gonzalez on her plan for homelessness.
I do not believe that people should be living outside. We need to work clearly and urgently to rapidly increase shelter and to make sure that we are still looking at how we can build more affordable housing throughout our city and increasing access to mental health care and substance use disorder treatment throughout the city. This is the number one challenge for the city, and I'm looking forward to being able to work on those issues together with our broad community to create rapid and meaningful progress in the first 100 days of my administration.
Mm-hmm. A lot of rapid from her, a lot of urgency from Bruce Harrell. Here's him.
First thing we will do is publish a plan. You'll see cost per person, cost per unit. You'll see a dashboard of where we are now, which is totally unacceptable. A sense of urgency. And when I talk about moving people out of parks, out of sidewalks, out of playgrounds where you see syringes and these intolerable conditions, I'm talking about building and treating our way out of this issue with a sense of urgency. Under the Harrell administration, you have no excuse making.
So I think I had two rapids from her and two urgencies from him. I think it was a tie. But that also eventually dovetailed into one I know you're passionate about. John, the discussion about taxes and corporations, and what's Amazon's part in all this?
Oh, yeah.
Harrell.
But anyone's not enjoying in that success. The market value of Amazon is about $1.56 trillion, lower than Microsoft's, actually. Microsoft's about $1.61 trillion. And these are pre-pandemic numbers. But when you look at the wealth that these corporations have, they have to not only pay their fair share of taxes, they have to be aligned with the issues, many of the issues that they've caused.
In line with the issues and basically in line with what the city wants and needs from them is what he was saying there. Uh-huh. That led to the question from the moderator of what is fair share, Bruce?
First of all, this will be governed by state law. And if you look at the 65 both former or current elected officials around this state, nationally and locally, they will work together, I believe, for the first time to really attacking the regressive taxation laws that we have right now.
And then Lorena Gonzalez pounced. She did. I promise. Wait for it.
So it is critically important for us to hire to make sure that we have a mayor who is serious about requiring all large profitable corporations pay their fair share. So let's be real about this. I'm the only candidate on this stage who means it. I am supported by working class families because they know I am serious about bringing to bear the reality of corporations paying their fair share. My opponent, on the other hand, is supported by the very people who are in court right now fighting to overturn a progressive tax on the largest, wealthiest corporations in our city. So that is a huge distinction. I'm not going to punt to the state legislature to fix our revenue problems. We have an opportunity to do that here, and we should take it.
Okay. Class is in session. Hopefully the two of them are listening. Here he is, smartest man in the world.
There is talk about how we're not going to raise taxes on people, we're going to raise it on business, on corporations. Businesses can't pay taxes. A business isn't a person. Only people can pay taxes. A corporate executive may write the check. He may sign his name to it. But who's paying it? It either comes from the customers.
From the customers.
Or it comes from the workers.
Ah, the employees.
Or it comes from the stockholders. Where else can it come from?
Yeah. Where else does it come from? So when we're going to tax the corporation. So when these two knuckleheads talk about taxing, getting the fair share, the money is either coming from the customer, that's the person down the street that wants to buy the product that's passed on to them, the employee in lower wages, or the shareholders in less money given to them, either in dividends or just profit. So what the shareholder does is they take their money and they put it somewhere else that isn't being taxed at the same level. If they invest their money somewhere else, and then that business grows to serve more customers, to serve more employees, to actually continue to flourish. But if you want to tax a corporation, you're taxing one of those three entities: the person, the consumer, or the shareholder, or the employees, or any one of those three. So you're not taxing a corporation. God, I wish I was there when they were asking. Who was asked? What media people were asked to be a part of this debate?
There's two debates. This is a WAD Debate Coalition and Seattle City Club. Right. I am one
of the moderators
because I'm on the next one, on the second debate.
God. Let me come with you.
No, COVID restrictions. You can't come. There's only so many people.
We're going to act like we're one person, and we both have two heads, and we're both there like we're going to be in a big sweatshirt. I'm gonna be right beside you or something. I'm going to have a walkie-talkie.
This was Mary Nam was the lead moderator in last night. So you had Chris Daniels from King 5, Mary Nam from Como 4.
All right.
And then Amy,
There is no such thing as a corporate tax, I'd yell in the back.
Amy from KUOW. Hold on, I'm not done
yet. Keep going. That'd be me in the back of the next debate yelling at you.
Okay. Yeah, right. That's just what I need, John Curley yelling at me while I'm moderating the debate. That'd be perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, you made me lose my place.
What else
zoning.
They got?
They got into the
Hannah, homeless people, there's no such thing as an affordable house when you don't have a job. Keep going.
Single family zoning, another hot button topic. Ugh. Here we go.
More housing choice in our most attractive neighborhoods and invite more families of varying incomes into those neighborhoods.
Invite them
to live with us and benefit from some of the prosperity that many of our low-income families and our working-class families have been excluded from precisely because of the strict nature of our existing zoning laws.
So Harold is...
What?
Yes. Single-family zoning is bad, and there's not enough housing, affordable housing, because of that. Here's what Harold had to say on single-family zoning.
If we're going to build apartments, the other issue that I talk about that no one else talks about is the conversion from apartment buildings to condo ownership, because condo ownership is very difficult in this state. I've played a role in that. We are one of the most difficult states to convert. I want people to have generational wealth passed down, and that's why I'm not quick to say the total elimination of single-family zoning. This has to be a citywide discussion. We will lead it, but we're not going to come in and say we support the total elimination of single-family zoning.
He basically is claimed that Lorena Gonzalez wants to do away completely with all single family zoning. I don't know that I've ever heard her say exactly that. She certainly supports changing some of it. And then he wants to sit down with
the fireworks. I'd be yelling back at him, fireworks.
You know, there was, and I couldn't find the cut for you, but there was at the beginning, Lorena somehow got a Trump connection in there against Harold, which I believe is one of the donors. So, you heard her say earlier in one of the cuts I played that he is being backed by the people who are fighting in court right now to overturn a progressive tax that the city passed. That's the jumpstart payroll tax that is currently in court. He pushed back and he said, I was down at Green Lake talking to the people who live there about the issues at the park and the homelessness. There were no corporate donor people there. That's not, I can't help who, pays into the PACs and does that. It's not my thing. So she tried to paint him as this big business, how we generally see in Seattle. He's the business guy with all the Amazon people and things like that behind him, according to her. And she is just way far to the left and anti-police.
She's anti-business. So she's with the group
of
labor.
People
that
she's don't for the working people.
And who are the working people work for? A working person, there's a verb in there. So you're a working person, a modifying person. So you are working for a...
for anyone who's business. Not paying you enough. Yeah,
business. You're working for a business, right? So you're anti-business, but you're pro-worker. Okay. God, well, I wish. Hannah, when is this debate I'm going to with you, Hannah? When is the next
it
one?
It is October 28th, same right. time,
Good.
7 p.m.
Jacob,
and we aired live on Cairo Radio.
Make a note.
And mynorthwest.com.
Yeah. Sure, he's coming in for it.
Yeah, I'll be there. I'll be the third person in the sweatshirt. Did yes. you cover the last mayoral debates and all of that in Seattle? Were you part of that? Because I have a compare and contrast question.
I was in like last in 2017, or is that what you're asking? I covered as a news person. I was not a moderator, if that's what you're asking.
Okay. So it, was homelessness as big of an issue then? Mm-hmm. And was that also promised to be the one thing that they were going to resolve and the one thing that they were going to try to attack, like these two candidates are saying? Or is this something that has progressed into something that's so much worse over the last few years that it's front and center?
Yeah, it's definitely front and center more. This year, it is the number one priority. So that is, you've heard, I think we heard maybe a little of that in the last round in 2017, but we also heard in the last round from, I believe, Mayor Jenny Durkan, then candidate Durkan, about her promise to, you know, invest in police, build up our police force, because right. that was the direction back then, because we had a police force that was too small, was the thinking. So things have definitely shifted for the worse when it comes to homelessness. I think that was the case prior to COVID, certainly the case after COVID. Mm. That in every single poll, everyone who answers the poll says homelessness is the top priority for them. So it has to be for them.
So after watching this thing, not that anybody wins a debate. I guess you win a debate if the other person just all of a sudden stands up and goes, you know what? You're right. You're absolutely right. I don't know why I'm running. And they walk out the door.
They quit.
Right. Well, like, we got a winner. No. Can you tell, did one person do better than the other in this thing?
I think it was very, very close. I think Bruce was, he came back well with any of the things that she kind of jabbed at him with. It really comes down to what it does, comes down to when you're talking about these two. Do you, you know, want Bruce Harrell will hold people accountable for crimes, he says, if they're in, you know, bad actors in homeless encampments who won't leave the parks, that kind of thing. There's mm-hmm. consequences. We still don't know exactly what those are, case by case basis.
Yeah.
Where Lorena seemed to struggle a little bit with her answer, but I think the question was posed strangely, basically whether she would force people to leave the park if they refuse to take shelter that's available. And then also she was asked about forcing people into treatment, which she was adamantly against. So it really depends on which side of the fence you lie on all of those issues.
Yeah.
On policing, she came out and she had a big, long rant about how the Seattle Police Department has to be, you know, deal with these critical reforms that are necessary because they tear gassed for weeks every night uh-huh. last year during the protests and the story about the 6-month-old baby and the dad,
yeah, right, yeah.
all that. So it was a lot of stuff I've heard before.
I remember
the
good old days. My dad used to take me down to tear gas protests as well.
yeah, a lot of stuff I heard before. I'd say Harold probably has a little bit of the edge.
Maybe people will split the difference. We'll get Bruce Harrell in there. He's going to be the law and order guy. But then let's get a city attorney that doesn't believe in that.
Both candidates have controversial histories, each on opposite sides of the political spectrum. Nicole Thomas Kennedy sent a series of tweets.
So this is Hannah. So Nicole Thomas Kennedy,
yep.
her controversy.
She was being sarcastic. She was being sarcastic in those tweets, by the way.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. So she sends out tweets. So she's controversial because
2020 now drawing backlash. One called property destruction a moral imperative. Other tweets called police pigs and serial killers.
Do you still feel that way about police?
I think what's important and what's missing from the conversation about the tweets is the context of the time. There was massive protests throughout the nation.
Thomas Kennedy says during the protests in the Capitol Hill neighborhood, she had to buy a gas mask for her 9-year-old daughter.
No mother.
My dad, by the way.
I recognize those sounds.
My dad never got me one of those when he used to take me to those gas protests.
You know, I had a COVID mask.
Should have to do that.
Did you really? You know what?
I had a COVID mask out there when I was getting the tear gas.
I remember when I was at King 5, Jim Forman was the only one that had one of those tear gas. And you'd wear it all the time, showing off, running around.
They gave me one. This last year, the Cairo management gave me one, and I couldn't figure out how to put it together. I just said, I'll use my COVID.
Okay.
So I was outraged. Absolutely.
But the candidate is not apologizing.
Do you regret or are you sorry for the tweets that you put out?
I decided to leave those tweets up because they were symbolic of the outrage I had at the time.
Yeah, so that's the thing. Do you really want a Seattle city attorney to be able to have outrage to the point that they're expressing things like police or serial killers and pigs and property destruction? You really want someone as a city attorney to be able to really not be able to hold back their outrage and put things out there? Is that what you're looking for? I'm a city attorney that just goes absolutely nuts every once in a while.
Have you listened to the public comment, folks, at the Seattle City Council? There is definitely a large faction of people that believe exactly what she does.
Yeah. As for Ann Davison, she chose to leave the Democratic Party and...
This is her controversy. She left the Democratic Party and...
joined the Republican Party in...
I thought she joined the Nazi Party.
2020, during the Trump presidency.
What would you say to voters who do hold issue with that?
I voted for Obama and Clinton in 2016, and then Biden last year.
In this video...
Oh, she skipped over Trump.
Wait. Davison explains...
That? Yeah, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, there's somebody's missing. That's what I was going to point out.
She skipped right over. She's a big fan of Harris. All right. Let me get you out of here. You get a chance to go home and spend the fabulous weekend. Any big plans for you, Hannah?
I'm decorating for Halloween. I have my new house with my new yard, and I've splurged a bit on like things that you blow up and scare the kids with in the front yard.
Oh, that's nice.
That sounds like dynamite. Blow up and scare the kids with. What are you talking about?
They're inflatables, right? They're very scary.
M80s and quarter sticks of dynamite.
And this little skeleton guy who dances on the ground, he screams like... Oh, my goodness. It is the most terrifying thing I've ever heard.
Okay, good. By the way, for your Halloween costume, it's going to be you, me, and Sherry in a giant sweatshirt as the three-headed people as gas masks at the debates. Tom will be there as well. All right. Thank you, Hannah. Have fun blowing up the skeleton. Tracy Taylor is her traffic for us on a Friday. How are we doing?
Hannah, I want that address. I want to go see that.
Sherry, heading into the weekend here. You got an opportunity to watch the Dave Chappelle piece, right? He's got a new comedy bit on Netflix. Is it entire stand-up for David Chappelle?
Yes, it's called The Closer. It's about 72 minutes long, and it's on Netflix, and it is causing quite a controversy, like Mr. Chappelle's other work has done in the past.
I think he is brilliant.
I think he's great. I didn't think this special was... that good, but I thought it was really funny. I mean, I think he's really good.
I'll give you a little taste of The Closer. Here we go.
Now listen, women get mad at me, gay people get mad at me, lesbians get mad at me, but I'm gonna tell you right now, and it's true, these transgenders, these want me dead. I've gone too far. I've said too much. And I got to tell you, I'm very worried about it. I'm not even joking. Every time I come out on stage, I'd be scared. I'd be looking around the crowd, searching for knuckles and Adam's apples to see where the threats might be coming from. A came up to me on the street the other day. He said, "Careful, Dave, they after you." I said, "What?" One they or many theys?
So Netflix, there's a bunch of employees, a couple of them got upset about this, and now apparently there's supposed to be a big day walkout. They're going to walk out from their jobs at Netflix coming up again to the 20th or 23rd of October, right?
Yeah, so what they're upset about, John, is the co-chief executive and the chief content officer, a guy named Ted Sarandos, he defended this. He defended his choice to put this on Netflix. He defended Dave Chappelle's artistry, if you will, and they're upset about that. They're saying that should have been pulled, that they don't like the idea that one of the things that he said was gender is a fact, and they don't like that. They say that the trans community, he's questioned the validity of being trans in general.
Uh-huh.
So it's another big thing with Dave Chappelle in the transgender community. But I'm sure Dave Chappelle is learning how to milk this because everybody's talking about him and probably more people are going to watch the special than they would have before all the publicity.
Really? You think? I think people that are fans of Dave Chappelle were waiting for this to come out. They're going to watch this one like they've watched the other Dave Chappelle pieces. You might be more aware of it now because Netflix is getting noise from people that are so upset that they didn't, what? They didn't want them to have this on? Look, you're allowed to say what you want to say, and the people that want to protest, Netflix said, go ahead and protest if you want, but we're sticking with this guy. They basically said, we're sticking with this guy because he makes us a lot of money.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. And in the special, what's interesting is that he closes the show with this story about this woman named Daphne. And yeah. Daphne is this transsexual woman who used to open for him. And he talks about her with great affection. He says she was a terrible comedian, but he really grew to like her and to think she was funny. And he wanted her to be a part of the show. And then she got a lot of backlash for participating with him. And she got a lot of bullying and bad tweets. And she eventually, very sadly, committed suicide. So even though he spends a lot of time talking about this, the trans community feels like this was just another exploitation of a trans person, that he used this to his advantage for another punchline.
I see. It is interesting that people that decide they want to protest things, rather you're trying to get professors thrown out of jobs, like the story about the Chinese professor who actually was nominated for a Nobel Prize, escaped from a communist China where they destroyed his piano because he's part of the bourgeois. Then he made it to the University of Michigan, was showing a film about a certain type of music score. And the film that he showed was Othello, and it was Sir Laurence Olivier played Othello and had on blackface. The guy's like, yeah, well, whoops, wow. And then a couple of kids complained, and it looks like that guy might be out of a job. The other professor, you know, USC, that was talking about how there's different languages and different words are used for filler words. In America, you might say In France, you say another word, we or And in Ireland, there's a different thing, there's eh. And so he's explaining all these different sounds used for filler words. And then he used the word from Chinese, which sounds a lot like the N-word. He said it three or four times. And a couple kids heard that. And then he was suspended and then not paid. And then the school went on this big thing. It is really interesting how these kids, they're young people, let's put them all under 30 or something, are so offended by something like that, and they want to, they're rising up and wanting people to lose their jobs, or David Chappelle to not be able to have this comedy thing. What do you think that is, that they really feel that they're fighting the good fight and that their life is going to suddenly have some purpose and meaning because they're going to cancel this guy, cancel this professor, cancel this guy, cancel this person, that they're winning something?
I mean, some of it is legit. Some of it they probably do need to be called out on. But I think that you're right, that a lot of these kids want to stand for something. And this is kind of an easy mark, right? I mean, these people were not ill-intended. They didn't mean to offend. And yet it's an easy way to sort of stand up for something. And that's probably all they're doing, is they think that they want to be a part of something bigger than them. They think that they're fighting the good fight, and that certainly racism and all of the phobic, homophobic, transphobic, all of these things are worth fighting for. It's on a very low level, but that's what they think they're accomplishing.
But in your mind, if you can believe, if you think that the threat of the white supremacist is just right around the corner, you are going to have to yell, scream, do something to stop this, because you believe that we are still dealing with 400 years of oppression, and that the poor black kid is in no better off than somebody was, say, 100 years ago. So your need to express your outrage and defend the victim, who is whoever it is, somebody overhearing a word that sounds like the N-word when actually it's a Chinese word, I need to speak up, because if I don't, then something horrible will happen.
Right. And they're being groomed to be on the lookout. They need to be able to feel like they are now kind of the watchdogs.
Yeah. Mal's Red Guard. I know.
Yes.
I got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Little Red Book, Mal's Red Guard. Let's stop every once in a while and read something from it. That's a crazy story. Let's see this one. This on Q13, the Department of Corrections employee in Shelton and the shooting case. Here we go.
Just to the, into the newsroom at this moment, a Department of Corrections employee who was shot last week outside his office in Shelton is now being accused of planning the whole thing himself.
Bum, bum, bum. If I were on the set with those guys and like right beside that guy, they would cut to me and I'd go, bum, bum, bum. Or you could do bum, bum. Like, you know, from Dateline. Or not Dateline.
Oh, well, that's
Law and Order.
Yeah, Law and Order. Yeah.
Yeah. Hold on.
In conjunction with his own sister. You remember this story. We brought it to you as breaking news. We have some video from the scene. I'm just looking at probable cause documents that we have just obtained. So that officer, Christopher Flo, you know, basically at the time said he'd been shot as he was getting out of his car. There was this search of...
Q13 guys off script right now. I think he's ad-libbing. Hang on.
You know, through the area looking for a possible shooter here. Well, now Shelton police say they actually have that Department of Corrections officer, Christopher Flo, in custody, and his sister as well, who apparently may have been the one who shot him and then left the scene. But she was, according to these documents, acting under his orders. What we don't know is why they may have planned this. So again, both he and his sister have been arrested. We are expecting them both in court later today.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll get some more answers about all of this, but a bizarre turn in what was already kind of a scary case.
Why was it just family prank? Apparently he's in the car. He points to her, points on him where he wants her to shoot him. His arm, the bullet goes, I guess, through his forearm, through his side and out his stomach or something. So she was an overachiever in this particular case. Why did she shoot him? Do we know?
That's it. They don't have a motive yet. What? There's no rhyme or reason to this crime, because it's like, why did he want to be shot? Why did he have her do it? And why did she agree to shoot her own brother?
Well, you asked a lot of questions, Sherry.
As this last reporter said, why?
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 Well, maybe, listen, maybe it was a gift. He's easy to shop for. They're a close family. So, Jacob, you have an update on it?
I was just Googling to see if there was any. I haven't seen. You know, he's been booked into Mason County Jail for assault in the first degree, it looks like.
Yeah. Also criminal conspiracy as well.
Oh, Tracy.
Look at Tracy jumping in. Oh, look at Tracy making Jacob look
bad. Jacob, you need to work harder.
And the sister has been booked on suspicion of first-degree assault, first-degree criminal conspiracy assault, drive-by shooting, and criminal conspiracy drive-by shooting. If you want to get yourself shot, should you be arrested for it? Like, I mean,
but
if you ask to be shot...
There were so many inconsistencies with his story, according to the detectives. Like, he was like, oh, no, somebody randomly shot me. And then finally he admitted, no, I asked my sister to do it. You know, that's kind of it. So it's
Keith
like
Morrison needs to get on this one right away. But it was not the type of sister you'd want.
That was really good.
I love him.
I do assume that this guy had a pretty good story lined up, but then the experience of being shot probably really addled his brain, and he wasn't able to communicate to the police what he had planned to. That's my theory for how this all went.
They were a close family.
On first-degree assault when it was against him? Like, because he assaulted himself?
We'll find out. But she wasn't going to the store. There was a body in the back of the car.
That's really good, John.
Thank you.
Really good. Yeah.
My niece used to work there at Dateline, and I used to say,
really?
"Oh yeah," and I said, "How weird is Keith Morrison?" And she's like, "He's a really nice guy, Uncle Michael." And I go, "There's a body in the back of the car." But that was not what he wanted to do.
Do you know who his
but
stepson is?
Was he off to play golf? No. What?
Do you know who his stepson is?
No, I don't.
Matthew Perry from Friends.
Stop.
Is that right?
That's right.
Well, he's addicted to drugs.
Sherry, don't let him be mean to you.